Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blue Jays From Away podcast, episode 63.
Got this force coming through in my blood, in my veins, it's a current of love.
On this episode, we bring you interviews with New Hampshire Fisher Cats pitchers Andrew Case and Thomas Pannone. So sit back, everybody, take a listen, and get your Blue Jays on. It's the Blue Jays From Away podcast. Welcome back to the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'm joined by Andrew Case, a New Brunswick native and a pitcher for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. Welcome, Andrew.
Thank you, my man. Good to be here.
Well, it's great to be here in Erie, Pennsylvania. I did see you pitch. You threw two pitches and got a double play to get out of the game and secure a win for the club the other day. Do you like that role at the end of the game when you sometimes might need to put out some fires?
I love it, man. It makes me feel like my team depends on me. They got trust in me, and the same thing goes for me. I got trust in them. So if I'm put in that situation, I get the ball in play, I trust them to get the out. So it all worked out and got the win, most important.
Now, do you feel like you can sort of bring an extra level of intensity that helps your game when you've got a game on the line, when you're in that closer's role? We'll put quotations around that role.
Yeah, in a way. At home, you feed off the crowd in the last inning. Away, you want to silence the crowd. So you want to have that extra little mentality of the hype. You want to hype it up a little bit. You want to be your own hype man, because it's 9-on-1, and it's a 1-on-1 battle, but it's 9-on-1. So you just do what you can do and do your best to your best ability to get the outs and help the team win.
Now, what do you think is really in your control when you're on the mound and you're out there, and you said it's a 1-on-1 battle. You're trying to retire the hitter. You're trying to make your pitch. What can you control?
Execute pitches. You can control what you control. If you throw a good pitch, he breaks his bat, he gets a single, good for him. If I throw a bad pitch and he swings and misses, he's going to say good for me. You know, it goes hand in hand each way, every way, every single day. So just control it, control between the white lines, and just slow the game down.
I've heard people say that you can only really control anything up until the point where the ball leaves your hand. Is that sort of the mentality you've been taking into this season?
Absolutely, man. And I just try to get myself better every day, pitch my best ability, and try to turn some heads, make people talk about me, make them talk about me, not hopefully they'll talk about me, make them talk about me. And next thing you know, if I would have told you I was going to be in AAA this year, I would have called you a liar. I was down in Michigan, I got to Dunedin for a month, I've been here for three, up and down from Buffalo. It's been such a surreal year, and I just want to feed off that. I want to build upon it, take it in the offseason, crush it, and come back next year with the mindset, well, hey, I belong here, maybe I can start up there, you know?
Now, it's funny, because that was almost exactly my next question. It was going to be asking you about, you know, this season obviously is a little bit of a sort of showing off what you can do and showing that you do belong, as you said, because you did have that issue with the suspension and you did miss time, and now you're showing the organization that not only can you pitch well at the level you were at before, but you're pitching well and, you know, helping the team win meaningful ball games both in AA and in AAA.
Yes, and the support system through it all. You know, I made a little mistake last year. I overcame it. I am more mature about it and just taking each day. And I'm telling you, man, just make sure you live every day without one regret, as my grandfather said every day. Try to win your day. And ever since someone walked into my life, I tell you right now that she's been my best supporter. She's been there every single, and she's always there. And she's always the first person to tell me after my outings how good I did. And it's pretty special. It's pretty surreal to have an inspiration like her.
Does it take your mind off anything else when you? It just lets you be able to be the pitcher when you've got somebody in your life?
I always think in the background, you know, baseball is just a game. It really is. It's a little kid's game that grown men get to play. And you can make a living out of it. but not a lot of people do. And if you're one of the select few that don't, your support system, your family, your friends, and your very, like my girlfriend, for say, they're always going to be there for you no matter what, and that's what you got to take part in, and that's what you got to take account for.
Now, I can't not ask you about being a Canadian in the Blue Jays organization. What's sort of the thing that feels the best about playing for the Blue Jays organization?
Growing up watching these guys, like going to Toronto, going to games, and, you know, playing on some of these fields in the Eastern League and even in Dunedin, where as a kid I'd watch spring training games. I'd be at the Fisher Cat games growing up playing travel ball, Coca-Cola Field in Buffalo. Like, it's just, everything's right there. And seeing myself as a kid and, like, seeing all the kids in the stands, if they just put their mind to it and, like, they dream about it, one day, honestly, you can try to make it a reality. And it's that close and it's that surreal that the word life, it means so much, and it's crazy.
So you mentioned, you know, being in some of these ballparks and pitching in Coca-Cola Field. What is, I guess, one or two of the highlights of the season for you?
Like I said, if you told me I was going to AAA, I would have said, you're a liar. And when I got the phone call to go to AA, it was on Mother's Day, and I called her, and she lost her mind on the phone. And she's like, that's the best gift I've ever gotten. And it's so, like it's so surreal, it's so amazing, but to even get the call to AA, not a lot of people do. A lot of people get trapped in high A and say, man, not a lot of people go AA. I got chosen. They want me. And to perform the way I performed, man, it's been a true blessing.
Today, Chris Rowley made his Major League debut. He's been a teammate of yours. You know, what does it make you think about, make you feel, when you see Rowley going out there and having success with the Blue Jays, coming back from a two-year layoff? But not just that, but he's a guy who doesn't throw all that hard, doesn't have any true, you know, didn't have any things that scouts said wow about, but he's been able to do it, and he's been able to succeed.
Yeah, man, and I don't want to, like, sit here and, like, talk to me like I'm just as good or better than him, but I consider myself and him pretty close to the same pitcher. You know, we don't throw overpoweringly hard. Like, you don't have to. As long as you get the outs, man, you go out there, pound the strike zone, you're consistent with it, you throw your fastball for a strike blown away, you have your off-speed, you can throw for strikes at any time. That's why he's doing so well, and that's why he has success like he does, because he's not intimidated. He goes out there, he throws strikes, he gets barrels, he puts the ball in play, because like I said earlier, it's a 9-on-1 battle, even though everyone thinks it's a 1-on-1. But your infielders, your outfielders, and your catcher trusts you just as much as you should trust them to get the out and help the team win.
All right, I'll ask you one more question before I let you get to your work. What do you want people to think about when they think about Andrew Case?
Just a funny, loving life Canadian man from a small town with a big support system. And I just want the suspension to go away, because that's what everybody asked me about. But hey, everyone will ask me about it, and I just want to beat that, and I want to win every day, and I want to just be the best I can be and pitch the best ability I could always have.
Well, we always wish the best to all the players here, but especially for you, Canadian boy. And, you know, you've worked really hard to get here, so congrats, and we hope you have a great rest of the season.
I very much appreciate it, my man. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'm joined by Thomas Pannone. Thomas was just acquired by the Blue Jays, and he's here in he's actually in Erie, Pennsylvania, but he's pitching for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So let's just talk, because, I mean, you just pitched last night.
Yeah.
It was a tough game for the club.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about what you were doing in the game, what you felt, what you were throwing, and how things worked out?
Yeah, I mean, the game started off pretty well. I was attacking the hitters just fine, and then ran into a little bit of trouble with those two home runs. And, I mean, they weren't necessarily bad pitches, but, I mean, they put good swings on them and lifted them out of the park. So, and then the last one there in the sixth inning, too, I mean, just a little bit of a dagger. We were up 3-2 and then give up the lead like that and then have to get taken out of the game. So, I mean, tough outing, I'd say, but overall, I mean, I felt pretty good. So,
Now, you know, from watching the game and you know, also watching your counterpart on the other team, on the Seawolves, he was having a lot of trouble with the strike zone. The umpire, I think, was really tight on the strike zone. What do you do as a pitcher when that happens to you?
I think the best thing to do is, I mean, not show any emotion. I mean, try to stay cool and calm and stick with your plan. I mean, obviously, I mean, you're out there trying to throw strikes and get hitters out and turn the lineup over as many times as you can, but... in that sense, like last night, I mean, I just wanted to stay cool and stay calm and just continue to attack the strike zone. So,
now, I'm always interested, and I know some of our listeners are, in sort of the technical things that you're doing. And you know, what could you say about your pitch selection in that game? I know for the first couple of innings, you really stuck with your fastball and were really trying to move it around.
Yeah.
But what can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I do pitch. I mean, I move my fastball around. I'm not so much of an overpowering pitcher where I can just blow guys away with my fastball. So I need to be accurate with my fastball and throw quality strikes. But my curveball, my changeup, those are my secondary pitches. I use those when I need them. I try not to overuse them. If I can get to a lineup with just my fastball, I'll try to do that. But so.
And how do you feel you get along with Reese McGuire? He's a new catcher for you since coming over in the trade.
Yeah. I mean, I adjusted to him just great last night. I mean, I had Monsalve my first game in New Hampshire, and I sat down with Reese for a while the other day, and we went over just kind of how I like to approach a game. And I mean, he grasped it really well, and he called a great game last night, and just a couple pitches got away from us, so.
Now, let's go back a little bit. You were just acquired by the Toronto Blue Jays. What's going through your mind when you find out that you got traded?
Yeah, well, I was out golfing with a couple buddies on my team, well, my old team. And then, I mean, I got a call from the farm director saying that I had been traded to the Blue Jays and best of luck and congratulated me. And I mean, said that the situation that I was coming to was a really good situation for me to be in. And so I was thrilled about that. I was thrilled that I was going to New Hampshire to play. I found that out a little while after I got traded, and then it was pretty overwhelming, though. I didn't know what to really think at that time, but I mean, now that I'm here and been with these guys for over a week now, it's been great.
I can imagine it comes as somewhat of a surprise. I mean, it's your first time traded, you've been with the Cleveland Indians for your whole career, and all of a sudden now you've got new teammates, you've got new managers, new organization, new coaches. You know what does that do, you know, to you as you're progressing through your season?
I just think it's a big adjustment period. I mean, you got to come in and learn a bunch of guys' names and the way that they go about their stuff as the Blue Jays, and it's just a little bit different than the Indians. I mean, from the training side of things to the weight room side of things to the running that they do to, I mean, everything is different. So, but it's all relatively the same. I mean, just has its own spin-off on it, I guess. So, but no, I mean, everything's been great so far. Coaching staff has been really great, and same with all the players on the team too.
Would it be safe to say that sort of the most, you know, the easiest adjustment is on the field when you're still pitching, right?
Yeah, that was. I mean, when I got out there, I had to wait. If I didn't get traded, I would have pitched on 5 days rest, obviously, but then got traded, so it ended up bumping back to like 8 days I hadn't pitched, and I was itching to get out there. Then we had a rain delay, and before you know it, I was like, oh, man, I really just want to get back out there. And finally I got out there, and I said over the phone, I think it was to my dad or something, I said, the only thing that's going to be different is I'm going to have a different uniform on. Like, that's it. And it really was. I mean, I got out there. I was still comfortable. I didn't really have the best outing there either. My first two outings here haven't really been necessarily that great, but I just got to find that comfort level. So
now, let's go back a little bit. Obviously, you've been playing professional ball for a while. What are some of the types of things that you've been learning along the way as you go? Maybe the most important thing that you think you've learned in your years of professional baseball, you know, since you were drafted?
Yeah, I think that's fighting for yourself. I mean, this is a tough game. I mean, you're away from your family and your friends, and there's a lot of times you got to get out of your comfort zone. I mean, basically, just like what I just had to deal with this last week was, I mean, walking into a situation that I was walking into a clubhouse. I only knew Alex Monsalve from prior playing with the Indians. So, I mean, just pretty much just being on your own. You got to learn to be good at being on your own, I'd say.
Now, what do you think about the situation that, you know, you're coming into here in New Hampshire? The team hasn't been doing well for the entire season, really, but there's a lot of big-name players here, a lot of guys who've played higher level, a lot of guys who have a lot of potential. Like, what do you think about when you're out there and looking at those teammates play?
Yeah, I mean, the talent on this team is tremendous. I mean, just like the Akron team that I was on, there was a lot of good talent there, too, but... the players on this team, I mean, great group of guys, and I mean, obviously have a lot of talent, so it's nice being around good pitchers on this team like Reed Foley and Connor Green, and just seeing how they go about their stuff every single day, and I mean showing them what I do and taking stuff that they do. I mean, it's nice to see other kids work. So
who do they have you rooming with on the road?
Emilio Guerrero. Yeah.
And what do you think of Emilio?
Yeah, he's a great guy. I mean, speaks fluent English. When I first got to the hotel, I mean, I didn't have a planned set roommate or anything. I was just kind of waiting to see who I got. And I got him. I was a little nervous that I had him because I was like, oh, I haven't really talked to him yet. I don't know if he speaks any English. And then I got in the room with him, and he speaks fluent English. He's a great guy. And, I mean, it's nice to pick a hitter's brain here and there, too, because, I mean, he's a smart hitter. And, I mean, every night we've been back in the room, he's been just telling me, like, his approach at the plate and how he looks at pitchers and what he's been thinking, so it's been nice to room with him.
Now, you've got just a few weeks left in the season. What are you thinking about? What are you working on? What are your goals?
I mean, definitely just want to continue on with what I've been doing. I want to, I mean, stay aggressive in the strike zone with all my pitches and get as deep as into games as I can, which I haven't been doing in my last couple outings, so I definitely want to, I believe I have four outings left, so in my last... four outings, I'd like to get as deep as I can into games and finish off strong.
All right, well, here's hoping you do finish off strong. Thanks for joining us. It's Tom Pannone of the New Hampshire Fisher Cats.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That's it for episode number 63 of the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'd like to thank Andrew Case and Thomas Pannone for joining me. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Jays From Away. Come on back soon and go Jays go.